Ja, ist mir bei uns mal. Auch kann es mal. If you see a person bathing and swallowing shit, would you smile? You would have compassion. Karuna, compassion. And metta, to get them out as soon as possible. Don't choke around. But you try to help them. When I look at you, I see a Häufchen Elend or a heap of suffering. So it's difficult to wring out a smile when I see people around me suffering. There's no use to cheering them up and comforting as long as you don't have any means to get them out. Out of the dukkha, out of the suffering, out of the heap of misery. Otherwise, just joking around, playing with words, cheering them up, wouldn't make them any good, then forget for a moment where they are. And that's not useful for people. It's not useful for people who are intent to get out. Get out of the heap of suffering they encounter day to day, minute to minute, second to second. When you look at your life, you might see that all the time you have been evading facing the truth. You've wasted a lot of time escaping boredom, escaping dukkha, and you even escaped the sukha. Sukha are the pleasant things, and that time, that sounds very strange. We not only flee from the painful things, try to evade them, try to get rid of them, try them not to come true, but we do the same thing without realizing it for the pleasant. The moment we encounter a pleasant feeling, we run away with our thoughts, how to get more of it, how to make it last longer. And it's just the same principle. When we encounter unpleasant feelings, we go out in our thinking and try to find a way out to evade them or to get rid of them. If you can't find anything, then we try to blame somebody. Somebody else, not us. Isn't that interesting? When we really think about, is this not interesting? We not only run away from our unpleasant feelings, but we do also run away from the pleasant. There must be something wrong. When we have pleasant feelings, and the next time you have a pleasant feeling, just see the thoughts circling around. How can I make it stay on? What did I do to get them? How can I produce the situation again? How? See, you all know it. So what are we going to do? In the path of practice, we stay with the pleasant feelings the same way as we stay with the unpleasant feelings. see anicca in it, see they arise and they will cease. No matter what we are going to do, they will cease. No matter what we are going to do, they will not stay. They just come, stay, and go. Come, stay, and go. And that is not only true for the pleasant feelings, it's also true for the unpleasant feelings. However, we have the ability, by thinking about it or thinking around it, to make them prolong, to make them stay longer. That's why the unpleasant feelings that we have and that we hate so much stay so long. Because we prolong them. We make them stay longer. With our thinking, with our memory, and with our feeling. And making them even stronger. Just see them arising and ceasing. Arising and ceasing. Anicca, anatta, dukkha are the three fundamental principles of this whole universe. Whatever is in this universe, is in this threefold universe, has the nature to arise and cease, has the nature of anatta not being ourselves, has the nature of afflicting us with dukkha. The beautiful feelings that cease afflict us with Buddha, with dukkha, and the unpleasant feelings, when they come, they afflict us with dukkha, because we are attached to them. Either we want them, or we don't want them. And wanting and not wanting is still wanting. And wanting is the tool to attach ourselves to these things. If we just see them arising, changing and passing away, where's the problem? They will do it anyway. Whatever we can do, we will not be able to evade them. We only have the ability to face them. Face them, see them, see their true nature, see them arising, see them changing, and see them ceasing. See them as, this is not me, this is not myself, this does not belong to me. This principle of anatta. Or see them as the source of dukkha. See how this wanting or not wanting afflicts dukkha in my heart. And this attachment, this wanting, is that the main source of dukkha. If we could let go at that moment of this wanting, either to be it or to prolong it, then there would be just this feeling. Just this Veda. And we actually could see it in its true nature, it arises and ceases. That's all. It constantly arises and ceases. The only thing that hides this truth from us is the truth that we don't want to believe it and that we don't want to see it. We just want to fool ourselves. And that's why Avicca is called the big magician. We want to fool ourselves that the things are constant, that the things belong to us, that we have the power over them. This is what we believe from the moment we are born. We see our hands, you know, we can grab things and we can manipulate things. We see our mind, we can grab things and manipulate things. And that's why we think we are in charge of this universe. If we would be in charge of this universe, when an unpleasant feeling would be coming, we could immediately replace it with a pleasant feeling. But because we are not in charge of these things that arise and cease, and change all the time, that's why we have to go. We want to change them, we want to prolong them, or we want to get rid of them, and that's what is bringing all this heap of suffering or this heap of misery upon us. Because we do not realize that we do not have the power to change the things that arise at that moment. That doesn't mean that we cannot change the things that will arise in the future. If we train our mind to be mindful, if we train our mind to go in the right direction, then of course the results of this training will have its fruit, sooner or later. But if we expect the result just in the next moment, then we are fooled again. The results will come whenever they are ripe. When we put a seed into the ground and the earth is fertile, then the seed will grow very fast and bring fast results. If the earth is full of stones and dried up and has no power to grow the seeds, then it will take a long, long time or not even reap at all. So that's where we can do the work. We can make the earth that we grow our seeds in fertile. We can water it, we can pull out the stones so that we harvest quickly. But we have to be mindful of what we are going to sow. This is where mindfulness has its place, where right view and right thinking has its place. If we are going to think in a way that bring wholesome things upon us, then we should foster these kind of thoughts. If we have thoughts in our mind that bring worries of fear or doubt within our mind, then we should get rid of them. We should get rid of them. First, we do not take any interest. We see, as we see the Vedana, it's arising and ceasing. Even thoughts that come and they are not fostered by us, they will still come, arise and cease. So we don't take interest, so when they cease, then they are gone. If we think this is mine, this is my thought, or this is my character, then I'm in trouble because then I belong. And I attach to it, and with this attachment, then I ask myself, how can I think these thoughts, or how can I say these words, or how can I act in this way? Then I will stay on this train. If I just don't pay any interest to it, then this thought just arises and ceases, and no action will follow. So if we apply anicca anatta dukkha to these things that arise and cease, to our thoughts, to rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, and vijnana, then we can get a handle on the situation. The only problem is that we don't want to see. We think it's too difficult to catch all the things that are happening. We just don't want to see. The pleasant feelings are not us. The unpleasant feelings are not us as well. That the body does not belong to us. We don't want to see. Whenever we look in the mirror, that's me. Whenever I walk, that's me. Whenever I do something, that's me. We just don't want to see that we are using a tool that is called body for our movements and for our sense pleasures. It's the driver in the car. The moment the driver steps out of the car, even if he has been born into this car and never ever got out, the moment he steps out of the car, he sees that the car and the driver are two different things. And who, I ask you, who is responsible for the wreckage of the car? Is it the car or is it the driver? So who is responsible for the wreckage of the body? Is it the chitta or is it the body? It's always the driver or is it the chitta? So the chitta is the most important thing. The body is just our tool to get things done. It's a very useful tool. It's a useful tool in the way of the world, but it's also a very useful tool in the way to get beyond the world, to get out of the heap of suffering. We can use the body to do walking meditation, and then we can use it to do sitting meditation. We can use our brains to focus on one object. We have never done that, or we hardly have learned it, so it's difficult. Now if you think, this thing is difficult, how difficult was it to learn to walk? How long did it take? How much suffering was involved? How often did we hit our head? Or did we even broke our bones or hit or injured ourselves? But we didn't give up. We didn't give up to learn to walk. Neither did we give up to learn to speak. How long did it take us to learn to speak? But because we wanted to speak and we wanted to walk, that's why we put up with all the difficulties that came along. Didn't we? Or are you still a baby and cannot walk and cannot talk? No, we all can. Now we have to use the same sort of wanting, the same sort of necessity to learn to concentrate and to learn to investigate. Concentrating means concentrating on one point. One point, just this one. It's compared to walk. Once we try to get up, we fall down. Once we try to put our attention on one object, the attention will fall away. So if we don't train to stay with the object, where will we end up? We will never be able to walk. And it's the same with investigation when we compare it to learn how to speak. Just to bring the muscles in the right form, just to train it to bring the tongue into the right place to utter a sound is the way of investigation. It's difficult. We have to get at the right places and we have to get the right muscles moving before we can utter a sound. So we have in investigation, we have to get at the right place. That means rupa, vedana, sanya, sankhara or vijnana, and then do the right muscle movement. That means do the right kind of investigation. The big problem that we face all the way along is the delusion. It's this magician that does not want us to reveal the truth. And this magician is like a little sweet voice in our ears that tells, oh, today I've done enough, or no, that is not necessary, or I should do something else, or isn't that tiring? Maybe look for some nice thing. This is the little voice, one of the strengths of the power of a vicha that pulls us away from our world. It makes us doubt. It paints us a pink future. If we do this, then we will gain this. And we fall for it. We have always fell for it. Not only this life, but a lot of lives before. We fall for this magician. We believe it. We believe it more than we believe the Dhamma. And that's where the problem is. That's where the big problem is. The big problem is not wanting to see the truth. Not wanting to see that all the feelings arise and cease. Not wanting to see that we and the body are two different things. Not wanting to see the true nature of this body. You shut up. Not wanting to see the true nature. So that, for instance, we see a person from an accident. One leg is at one point, the body is at another point, the head is at another point. We immediately put our eyes away. We don't want to see it, and a feeling of disgust is coming. A body is a body. When we see a wrecked car, we don't have the same feeling for it. A wrecked car, you know, it's just not useful anymore. But we don't have this attachment. But to our body, we have this attachment. When we cut ourselves, we feel the pain. Or we call ourselves stupid because we have cut ourselves. So when we look at this body, then the right view is just investigating a car. Opening the hood and seeing what is beneath it. Opening everything and see how is it working. How is this body working? It has muscles, it has fluids, it has lungs, it has organs, it has whatever. It has a brain that controls everything. The brain is like the engine. The brain is running all the time. We just need to sit in the car and get it running. Just put in the gear and then it's running. And then we steer it around. And it's like when we walk, or when we drink, or when we eat, or when we do something. The citta is controlling the body. So the citta, if the citta is controlling the body, then the citta and the body are two different things. So the citta cannot be the body. And the body cannot be the citta. So I cannot be this body, and the body cannot be me. If I would be the body, and I would have control over this body wouldn't die, because I don't want it to die. But because I don't have the control over this body, then it will get sick, it will age, and it will die. Because the body has its own nature. And the nature of the body is different from the nature of the citta. We have to realize that. We don't want it. We want just to live in this nice ivory tower of delusion that everything is just fine. And the way of investigation is the way of getting down to the truth. The first thing that we realize is that the things are changing. My thoughts are changing. My feelings are changing. My body is changing. My memory is changing. And my consciousness is changing. So what of these changing things can I really call I and mine? Do I have control over these changing? When they're changing right now, can I stop them changing? Can I stop my body from dying? Can I stop my mind to get think this thought? Not yet. Because I am not the one who has control over these things. Something that has a power beyond our power yet has the control. And who has the power is nothing else than this avijja. Avijja, delusion, not knowing rightly, this magician, this sweet, nice voice that tells us all the things we should do, we should accomplish, and we should look for. It always paints us a pink future, lying to us, and the moment the future turns into the present moment, we still have the same heap of suffering. We still face the same difficulty. So we have never proved a Avijja to be a liar. We still believe. If it says, yes, let's go to another place, or let's eat this, or let's eat that, or I'm tired, or I'm sick, or I cannot do this, we believe it, yes. Because I is mine, and that's what is. We believe it. Without any doubt. We get only in conflict if somebody else believes something else about us. If we believe to be good people, or honest people, and then somebody comes to us and says, we are a liar, or we are dishonest, then we get in doubt, or conflict, or anger arises, or whatever. So this kind of belief that we call self, we have to undermine it. We have to undermine it by facing the truth. And the first time to face the truth is not easy. As I said, when we see an accident, and the brain over there, and the torso over there, and the legs over there, we get disgusted and look away. So how can we see the truth? By looking. This is the brain, or this is the head, this is the torso, this is the leg, and this is the arm. How does this differ from my body? When I am in an accident, I will look just the same. Or this body will just look the same. That is the first step to realize the truth. This is the first step. And also, another step, if it's concerning Vedana, to look, this is an unpleasant feeling. It has the nature to arise and cease and change. So observe it and not run away in your thoughts. Not run away from this unpleasant feeling and not run away from that pleasant feeling. Just stay with it. Observe the law of anicca, anatta and dukkha within. This is how we undermine the power of delusion. How we undermine the power of this magician that fools us into thinking this is like this and this is like that. Just open your eyes and see for yourself. That is what the Lord Buddha teaches. Open your eyes and see for yourself. I cannot make your eyes open. I can only point out the way how to open. But you are the ones who actually have to open. Whenever you see something disgusting, don't look away. Stay with it and stay with the feeling of disgust. And then after that feeling ceased, ask yourself, why did it arise? Why did this feeling of disgust arise? Because is it something that I did not want to see? Is it a part of the nature, of the true nature, that I did not want to see and I did not want to realize? And it's the same, if we just don't see it, then we just look inside our own body. Whatever we put in our body is nice, tasting nice and smelling nice. Whatever comes out of this body, it's just one color and one size. We never dare to look at it. We look only what comes into contact with this body or what gets into the body. Whatever gets out of the body, we either put in our washing machine or we flush down the toilet. We just don't want to see the smell that comes out of this body. And we don't want to see the shit. It used to be food that we loved to put in our mouth. Now when it comes out of this body, we just don't even dare to touch it. Nor do we put our nose close to it. But when there is some nice kind of food, we like to smell it. And we like to put it in our mouth. Isn't there something curious about this situation? Whatever we put into it, or whatever we touch with our body, is nice and beautiful. And whatever comes out of our body, be it pus, be it blood, be it spittle, or be it cheek, or be it sweat, we just don't like to see, we wash away, or flush away. Think about this body as a factory. In this world, would this kind of factory, where we only put in nice things and get out disgusting things, would this kind of factory would have any success of making some profit in this world? But we love and attach to this kind of factory that turns everything that is nice into something that is disgusting. Why is us this? Why is this? Why do we attach ourselves? Why do we not retract to the driver of the car? And be concerned only about the chitta. If it's a good driver, he cares that there's some oil in the engine and that there's some gasoline in the tank. That means we care for our body in the way that there's some food in the stomach that gives him some strength and that it is smooth and not aching. So we need to exercise it a bit so that it doesn't get stuck. This is the oil and the engine. And the fuel is the food. That's all what a car needs. And that's, if we view our body correctly, that's all what it needs. It needs clothing. It needs medicine, it needs food, and it needs shelter to protect it from the environment. More we don't need to do. It doesn't matter what kind of food, as long as it nourishes the body, to keep it healthy. It doesn't matter if we like that food or if we don't like the food. As long as it gives the body nourishment, that's fine. But when we look at our food habit or eating habit, we only see, we put in our mouth only what we like. We like this kind of taste, we like that kind of taste, and that's why we stuff it in. We stuff it in more than we actually need because we enjoy the taste. The moment the food comes on the tongue, it stays on the tongue and produces the feeling of taste. The moment it leaves the tongue, the taste is gone. The moment we swallow it down, then it stays in the stomach for how many hours? For 20 hours, for 24 hours, for 36 hours. We never care to look. What happened is what's happening with the food down there. We eat what we like, we don't eat what we need. If we eat what we like, we eat too much of it, and then we complain about the upset stomach or stomach acid, so we take some medicine to cure it, and we still eat what we like. We never learn from our fault. Because we never dare to look. We never dare to to look at the results of our thinking, we never dare to look at the results of our speaking, of our action. We just look for what we want. And that's where all this problem comes. We don't even look if that what we want will produce nice results or bad results. Isn't this strange? When we go in a shop and want some soap that cleans our body, so we buy this soap and we take it to the shower or clean it, use it to clean our body, the moment we notice it doesn't clean the body, we won't buy the soap again. Or would we? If it doesn't do its job, we wouldn't buy it. But what we do with our mind, we don't never check. We don't care. We just believe that it brings us the results that we want. We just believe it. In this respect, we are completely stupid. We are stupid. We are under the sway of the kilesas. We are under the sway of avidya, of this enormous power. Don't underestimate. This power has created this universe. This power has created us, and this power makes us stay. So if we not, for the first time, investigate, in line with the truth, investigate what is right and what is wrong, investigate what is proper action, what is proper thinking, what is proper speaking. And what kind of results does our thinking has on our mind? If you have worries, it's a very, very pleasant feeling. That's why we stay on these worries. If you are afraid, this is a very, very pleasant feeling. That's why we still stay with the thoughts of fear. Isn't it? Or is it unpleasant? If it's unpleasant, why don't we chuck out these thoughts that produce these unpleasant feelings? Why are we still lingering around doubt, around fear, around worries? What is there to worry about? Here, when we are here in this place, there's nothing to worry about. The only worry that we should have when we train samadhi, not to let go of a meditation object. That should be the only worry that we have. All the other worries, if we get some food, we will get some. We have shelter, we have clothes, we have food, we have medicine. It's all provided. And especially, it's provided for free. And then we have some, not only worldly medicine, but at most we have some Dhamma medicine. It's also provided for free. So what is there to worry about? There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to be afraid of. We are afraid of ourselves. We are afraid of others. We worry about ourselves. We worry about others. If we stay and stick with the object of concentration, and our thinking disappears, with this thinking disappears, our worries and our fear will disappear. Experience it for yourself. Just stick to this object. Just either stick to the Buddha or stick to the breath. And don't let the mind run out. Don't let the mind run away in its worries or fears or doubt. Otherwise, you're in problem. You're in trouble. Just a little finger and the kilesas take the whole body. Don't even give it the little finger. They will take everything. They know only one thing, to take everything. They take our lives, they take our thoughts, they take our body, they take our feeling. Now we have to recapture them. See them for what they are, that they are not me, that they are not mine, that they do not belong to me. And see that if we attach to them, they are just a big heap of suffering. See it for yourself, and then when you're going in the wrong direction, then ask yourself, is that necessary, or can I not switch to a nice thing? Can I not switch back to my Buddha that is my mainstay, that gives me peace and happiness? So look at the thing. Investigate your thoughts, your speech, and your action. Is it wholesome? Does it produce wholesome results? Is that what I want? Really wholesome? Investigate. And undermine the liar. Undermine this magician who fools us into thinking that what we want is nice or will produce pleasant results. Undermine it by showing it, by showing the heart that actually it's the adverse. Actually, it's not producing nice results. Show it. You have to teach your heart. See what the mind tell me, or what Avijja told me, or what I thought that is useful is not useful. See it, see it, see it. You have to do it not only once, you have to do it a lot of times. Until the heart understands. Until the citta understands the fire is burning. The fire that it plays with is burning us. It doesn't burn anybody else. It just burns. Once you get into the samadhi, you will know the calm, the peacefulness, and the happiness of the state that is free of worries, doubts, and fear. So foster samadhi, try to get at least into the state of upachara samadhi, where all worries and fears and doubts will end for the moment. So don't let the mind, just don't let it run away. Don't waste your time by running after it. Just bring it back. Don't waste your time by investigation. Why did he run away? It's useless, it's fruitless. Just bring it back. And investigate. If you do not do samadhi, investigate your action, your speech and thoughts, if they really bring you what you expected from them. If they really produce this nice and beautiful result. See for yourself how you're fooled constantly. See for yourself how we are constantly fooled by believing the wrong. Change your ways by looking at the nature. That means if you see a body, be it the body of an animal or the corpse of a human being, look at it. That's how I'm going to look when I die. Or how is that animal, the body of this animal, different from my own body? It has a heart, it has lungs, it has veins, it has blood, everything. It even has a brain. So where's the difference? The problem is we don't want to see. And that the moment we start to see, unpleasant feelings will arise. The kilesas or avijja will not tolerate that we are going in the direction that undermines their power. Don't forget. That means in the terms of practice, the more difficult our practice is, the more worthwhile actually it is. If we just stay in a happy state and contented state, that means our practice has stopped. If we encounter the more difficult or the more unbearing the practice is, the more worthwhile is it to go through, to understand the nature. And out of the mountain that comes in front of our eyes and that we think we cannot climb, once we set our determination to get up, becomes a curtain of light. We just step through. It's this power of illusion that paints us this huge mountain or this unpleasant thing. The moment we want to face it, it turns into a curtain of light. We just step through. See the power? The power that paints all these difficulties in our heart, the moment we set our determination on, they are just gone. But we see that mountain and we want to evade it. We see that heap of suffering and we want to run away from it. That's where the problem is. So, when we look at our practice, when it's becoming really difficult, then you should think that it really becomes interesting. Now, if I can make that, if I can take this trouble or this difficulty, then I actually have done one step in the right direction. And for that, I close.